Alleluia. The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. John. Jesus raised his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Give glory to your Son, so that your Son may glorify you. Just as you gave him authority over all people, so that your Son may give eternal life to all you gave him. Now this is eternal life, that they should know you, the only true God, and the one whom you send, Jesus Christ. I glorified you on earth by accomplishing the work you gave me to do. Now glorify me, Father, with you, with the glory I had with you before the world began. I revealed your name to those whom you gave me out of the world. They belong to you, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything you gave me is from you, because the words you gave to me I have given them, and they accepted them and truly understood that I came from you, and they believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but for the ones you have given me, because they are yours, and everything of mine is yours, and everything of yours is mine, and I have been glorified in them. Now I will no longer be in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. The Gospel of the Lord. One of the most important things anyone has to learn in human life is how to live intentionally, how to live with the end in mind. The old aphorism that if you don't know where you're going, any road will do, applies to so many people today. They're hustling around, doing 1,000 things a day, but they don't really know the big picture. They don't really think about where they're going. They distract themselves by small little things and miss the biggest thing. A friend of mine, a priest from Pittsburgh, once gave the analogy. You know, what would you do if you woke up and you were on a plane? What's the big question that you have to ask? The big question is, where's this plane going? But he said, what if a stewardess comes up to you and says, I've got really good news for you. You've just been bumped up to first class. And up you come to first class. And then says, what would you like to drink? And you say your favorite drink. And she brings your favorite drink. And she says, look at this huge, big screen in front of you. We've got thousands of movies to watch, including all of your favorites. Many people would take the gin and tonic. They would start flipping through one movie after another, which happens on planes all the time. But the big question remains, where's this plane going? The Imitation of Christ taught us very clearly that the wise person spiritually will wake up every day with the end in mind, to remember that that end might come that very day, and to live intentionally with that goal. St. Ignatius of Loyola said that all our decisions should be made as if we were looking back at the decisions we face from the perspective of our conversation with Christ at the very end of our life, so that we're able to order every single one of those choices to what our real end is and where we really want to end up. We've got to live intentionally. Today's readings show us both what Jesus was intending and what St. Paul was intending. We're going to have a chance to ponder Jesus' words these 3 days in the middle of this week. St. Paul will have today and tomorrow. But they give, in essence, their valedictories about what they were doing, about how their whole life was ordered. We can learn so much from their order, what our order needs to be. Jesus begins his priestly prayer. Father, the hour has come, that hour he had been long awaiting. The hour, he had said chapters before in John 12:23, when the Son of Man would be glorified, when he would go the way of the grain of wheat. Glorify your Son so that your Son may glorify you. His whole life was to glorify the Father and to give eternal life to all he gave him. He described quite clearly what eternal life was. This is eternal life, that they might know you, the one true God, and Jesus Christ whom you send. Eternal life is entering into loving communion with God. And it's something that's meant to begin here. When we enter into God's life, when he abides in us and we abide in him, death is nothing other than a change of address. It's a change in state. It's not a change of reality. Jesus glorified the Father on earth by revealing the Father's name to us. We come to know the Lord through the name. In biblical mentality, name signifies the entire essence of the person. That's why God was constantly trying to change names. What is God's name? First, he revealed himself to Moses in the burning bush. I am who I am. But he who is didn't stop there. At the incarnation, he who is became he who is with us, God with us. And not just hanging with us, but hanging for us. Yeshua. God saves. God who is with us. Saving us constantly, giving his life for us. To come to know God, to enter into relationship with him, is to enter into this whole mystery of his saving love, that nothing is too much for him to do. Jesus came to make it possible for us to have that relationship with God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, with us, saving us always, and even saving us through giving us a cooperation in their mission. Allowing us, as we celebrated the Ascension, to be co-redeemers. Jesus was praying for us that we might know the Father in this way. And when we do, that's when we glorify him on earth. He ascends, but he leaves us here to continue that work, ultimately, of attracting others to come to know by name, in person, lovingly, that same God whom Jesus has revealed to us and introduced us to, not on the outside, but in the interior of God's own life. That was the whole purpose of his life. And we are so intimately involved in that purpose. St. Paul didn't quite grasp that at first. When he was Saul, religiously trying to serve the Lord, he was doing so much of this on the outside, focused on his own action. But eventually Jesus exploded into his life. Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Who are you? I am Jesus Christ whom you are persecuting. And Paul came to know Jesus. Would say, it's no longer even I who live, but I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up to me. To live, he would say in his letter to the Ephesians, is to know Christ Jesus. For me, to live is Christ. And when he was giving his final words to all the priests from Ephesus, the church he had built over a couple of years, would come to him at the port of Miletus. Today we get his words about his mission, how he understood his whole life. Tomorrow, the specific instructions to the priests of how to be a priest to others, the way he had sought to be for them. St. Paul says, "You know how I lived among you the whole time from the day I first came to you. I served the Lord with all humility, in tears and trials because of the plots. But I didn't shrink from telling you what was for your benefit, from teaching you, whether in public or in your homes." What was he teaching? What was he not shrinking from? "I earnestly bore witness to repentance before God and faith in our Lord Jesus." Repent and believe. He was living out Jesus' first words. To turn away from everything that separates us from God. And to have faith not in Jesus' teachings alone, but to totally give themselves over to Jesus, to entrust themselves to him from the inside out. That's what he was proclaiming, nothing short. It says, compelled by the Spirit, he was now leaving, and he knew the Spirit had warned him that he would suffer imprisonment and hardship. Holy Spirit was guiding him the entire time. We're going to come to the Holy Spirit in a second. But he reiterates the same points, going more deeply. "I consider my life of no importance, if only I may finish my course, my race." Same word that he will use in his letter to Timothy. "And the ministry I received from the Lord Jesus," which is what? "To bear witness to the gospel of God's grace." This preaching of repentance and faith, what he wasn't shrinking from, was from proclaiming in his own flesh and not just in his own words, the great news of God's grace, of God's mercy, of God's unending love, that God is with us, constantly saving us because of the love that he has for us. And he would say at the very end of this passage, "So I solemnly declare to you this day," he was swearing an oath, "that I'm not responsible for any of your blood, because I didn't shrink from you, from proclaiming to you the entire plan of God, where you fit into God's big picture." He's calling on their responsibility, but he had never shrunken from saying the whole truth. That truth wasn't the bad stuff to scare them. That truth was so that they might come to recognize that the purpose of their life was to know God intimately, to receive his love and to love him back, and to live always with that in mind. The same Holy Spirit who was compelling him is compelling us to enter into the fullness of human life, the fullness of our baptism, the fullness of your more intimate consecration, the fullness of my holy orders. Holy Spirit first helps us to know God. He's the one who helps us from within to cry out, "Abba, Father," to really know the Father as a dad, not as a distant force. He's the one who reminds us of everything Jesus taught, including Jesus' most intimate words, "Just as the Father loves me, I love you." We pray in the Veni Creator during these days of the Decennarium prior to Pentecost. "Per te sciamus da Patrem, noscamus atque filium." Through you, Holy Spirit, we come to know the Father. We come to know intimately the Son. It's the Holy Spirit who gives us this knowledge, which is eternity, eternal life. But we also receive the help of the Spirit to remind us of the end of human life. As we'll sing on Sunday in that last verse of the Veni Sancte Spiritus, "Da virtutis meritum, da salutis exitum, da perenne gaudium." Give us the merit of all the virtues so that we might take on Christ's own virtues, Christ's own love. Give us the end of salvation. Bring us to salvation. Save us. And give us eternal joy. Holy Spirit wants to help us to keep our mind on those virtues, our heart on that salvation, and our whole being on the joy that God wants to give us through knowing Him and knowing the depth of His love. Every day, sisters, we have a chance to recalibrate the entire existence of our life. The integration that God is asking of us, He wants to be truly Eucharistic. There is a reason why the Second Vatican Council teaches that the sacrifice of the Holy Eucharist is the source and the summit of the Christian life. If we're truly living as Christians, not only do we draw our beginning from here, all our life from Christ here, like branches on the vine, but relevant for today, it is the summit, it's the goal, it's the purpose of our entire existence. It's all got to be directed toward the Lord here, toward really coming to know Him as He seeks to reveal to us the Father by the power of the Holy Spirit, as He seeks to remind us of who His name is so that we can enter into an intimate I-Thou with Him, as He seeks to share with us the fullness of the gospel of grace, in word and in word made flesh. Today, let us ask the Holy Spirit's help so that we might never lose this focus of why He created us and redeemed us and called us and commissioned us. Praise be Jesus Christ.